the prophet, you'll find Jeremiah the prophet. We want to preach from this Old Testament passage today, reading the first five verses. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. I do pray the Holy Spirit would enable us to make it a blessing to the people that are here today. We know it's your word, spoken through this prophet many, many years ago. And yet, your word is always true, and it's always active in our lives. And I thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing on the message for Jesus' sake. May he be glorified in it. Amen. As we read in verse number 5, and I'd like to read this again, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now from that verse, I've taken the title of God's prophet. God's prophet. God makes it clear to Jeremiah, even before he was born, God had ordained him to be a prophet to the nation of Judah, the southern tribe. And that's what the book of Jeremiah is all about. Now, he tells us in the beginning, the time of his prophecy, during the reign of Josiah, the last great king, one of the greatest kings that they had in the kingdom of Judah, all through the reign of some of his sons until the carrying away to Jerusalem. So this is a record of the last part of the nation of Judah before they were made captive by Nebuchadnezzar, carried up into the land of Babylon, as recorded in other places in the scripture. He prophesied about 40 years. If you add the years of these kings, and even later than that, we have no record of his death. We know he was taken down into Egypt. After Judah was carried away, he went down into Egypt and probably died there. But he is God's prophet. Now, I want to preach this message because there's so much here that appertains to our Christian life. And let's try to draw from it what God would have us to see. First of all, as we think about God's prophet, many of the prophets that we have in the Bible, they were prophets for a special time. And Jeremiah's prophecy came at a special time in the history of Judah, the last part of the kingdom of Israel before they were completely dissipated and carried up into Babylon. And he was the prophet for the hour. Now that's not unusual when you look at the other prophets in the Bible. Jonah was a prophet that God would send to a specific place for a specific time, land of the Gentiles. He didn't want to go, but God persuaded him to go. Then we think about Joshua. Joshua was a prophet for a special time because Moses died and God buried him. And they had not yet gone into the promised land, and God called Joshua for that purpose. Then Elijah, that great prophet of Israel, all the prophecies that he had, every one of these prophets were chosen by God for a special time, for a special purpose. Don't forget that when you realize that God has saved you, that you're his child. As we reminded you in the words of that song, he laid on himself our welfare. He bare our sins in his body on the tree. He is obligated to deliver us, to take us into his very presence. He took that responsibility upon himself. But I want you to look at some things in Jeremiah's life that I believe will help us as God's people. Tim's devotion this morning was very helpful to me. As he read in Matthew 24 concerning the end times and the way it's going to be in the end. And this is the end time for Judah. God had warned them and warned them and warned them, told them to look for certain things. He told them to repent time and again. They wouldn't do it. Until finally, as we read in 2 Chronicles in the last chapter, God said till there was no remedy. There was no remedy. And he burned the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the temple down to the very basic stones. But let's look at the record he gives us here. First of all, look at his call in verse 5, before I formed thee. Remember what David says in Psalm 139? When I was created in the lowest parts of the earth, all my members were known unto thee. God knew us before we were born. Do you understand that? All this controversy about I want to be a man when I'm a created woman by God. I want to be a woman when God created me a man. That's just so much foolishness, and it's against the will of God. God made us what he wants us to be. And I know there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people all mixed up in their mind. But beloved, before you were saved, God knew you. Before Jeremiah was saved, he knew him. Before I formed thee in the belly, every member that you have, God knew about it. The color of your eyes, the color of your hair. You're a created being. I'm a created being. And beloved, I believe we're created for a special time as Jeremiah was. This is our day. This is a time that God has ordained that we live here, that we be his witnesses for this generation in this place. He goes on to say, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And that word normally means the nation of Israel. Because that's what he was a prophet to. He wasn't a prophet to the Gentiles. He was a prophet to his own people. But God says, I ordained thee. That means God had the specific purpose of him being a prophet for this time to his people in this situation. I feel that myself. I really do. God calls men to preach. Not just so they'll have an easy job, as someone asked a young boy one day, said, what does your daddy do? He said, my daddy, he doesn't work. He's a preacher. But you see, beloved, preachers are called by God if they're God-called preachers. And they're called for a purpose, and they're called for a time. And I believe the same is true of God's children. We have a work. We have a purpose. God puts us in the church for a specific purpose. But notice his response to that call in verse 6. And this is so familiar. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. How did Moses respond when God called him to go down into Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of captivity? What was his response? He said, and I'm going to paraphrase this, I'm going to turn and read it, but he said, I'm slow of tongue. Lord, I can't do this. You find this in many of the prophets that are called, many of the men that God called, they felt their inability. Is there anything wrong with that? No, God designed it that way. None of us are up to what God has ordained us to be as Christians. We can't fulfill what God would have us to be, but nonetheless, we submit to his will. what was God's response to his response, if I could put it that way. His admission that he was not able to speak. And verse 7, the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. Don't say that. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. We're talking about a sovereign God who rules this universe. And God says to Jeremiah, you will go where I send you. Remember the response of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter number 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. What did he say? Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But what did God do for him? Well, he sent an angel and took the tongs of fire off the altar and touched his tongue. And what was Isaiah's response after that? When the Lord said, who shall we send? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. You see, the Lord has a way of dealing with us. You think about your salvation. The things that you went through when God extended a call to you through the gospel to come to Christ. Things happened to you. Things that brought you to respond to the Lord in the way that you did. God then gives him great assurance in verse 7. Now let's read verse 8. I read verse 7. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know, when God calls a man to be a preacher, a prophet, we need some encouragement, and God gives it to Jeremiah. Don't be afraid of their faces. You see, I have to look at people when I preach. God said, don't be afraid of their faces. Thank God in one of the Lord's New Testament churches, you don't have that fear so much, but get out here on the street. Or go on your job and try to witness to people, and you'll understand what this means. Don't be afraid of their faces. Here's what he says, for I'm with thee. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Boy, what assurance. Jeremiah needed this because he felt, honestly, I'm a child, I can't do this. And God said, yes, you can, because I'm going to be with you. And you're going to do it because I am the great I am. And I call you to do this work. Then let's look further at the message that God gave him. And this is where it really gets close to us. What message should he take to the nation of Judah? They'd just gone through a great time of prosperity, and they served the Lord with zeal and enthusiasm. They started again doing the things that God commanded them to do under Josiah, that good king. But then Josiah died. You read how Jeremiah mourned at the death of Josiah because he knew what was coming. And then his sons began to reign, and it was a miserable time. The Bible says, concerning Josiah, he followed the Lord. But his sons, exactly the opposite. Beloved, it's important who leads a people. It's important in our country that we have leaders that understand their inability. Now, they're hard to come by. Very few politicians ever understand their inability. Part of being a politician is to tell everybody how you're able to do things much better than anybody else. But the truth of the matter is, a man that God will bless is a man that understands who he really is and that understands that his strength must come from God. And that's where Jeremiah is. And his message, as we see in chapter 2, verse number 11, here's what God reveals to him. Hath a nation changed their gods? Remember who Israel is. God called them out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses died, and he called Joshua, delivers them into the promised land, the land of Canaan, establishes them, and they become a great nation. They have a great king under David and Solomon. They have many blessings, but now, that's been years ago. Hath a nation changed their gods? which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God uses water. One of the basic needs of a nation and certainly of individuals. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn themselves out these cisterns which will not hold water. His message is not going to be readily accepted. Now, you know as well as I do that none of us want to hear negative things. We like the positive. But I'll tell you, Jeremiah's message is not going to be positive because he has to deal with sin. He has to deal with a nation that has turned away from God after all that God has done for them. Look at our nation today. Can you not honestly say that this nation has turned away from God? Things aren't like they used to be. Why? Because people turn away from God and they turn to their own things and their own ways and they get them some other gods. Gods of pleasure. Gods of wealth. Gods of knowledge. Gods that will not replace God himself. Our nation become great because God made us great. And we've left the knowledge of that just like Judah did. They were departing from God, and God knew it. And he tells Jeremiah, they don't know it, but you tell them. Chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot. God said, tell them this, you've played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. God calls them back. God offers them harmony and peace, his blessings. That's part of his message. Verse 14, same chapter 3. Notice this. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Verse 22, return, you backsliding children. I'll heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. God calls them back. Part of the message of Jeremiah is an offer as God made to Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He makes it to us all the time, does he not? God's people don't understand that. We get out of sorts. We get backslidden. We get away from the Lord. And what does God offer us? Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord. Always been God's way. And though they've sinned and turned to other gods, God offers them repentance. Look in chapter 5. I'm going to be reading several verses from different chapters. Let's read in chapter number 5 and verse number 3 through 5. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they've not grieved. You realize how many times God deals with these people because he loves them. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth every son whom he received. And they do exactly what Judah did. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. I'll tell you, when God begins to deal with you as a Christian, the best thing you can do is respond to it in a positive way. Because Judah didn't. And the end of Judah is total captivity up in a land, a strange land of Babylon. Read further. In chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. You realize God in his ways always offers an escape. He offers an escape to Judah. Stand in the ways and see the and ask for the old paths where are the good way and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's a hard-headed Christian, one that's been saved by the grace of God. And yet he's out of fellowship with God, and God still calls him, still offers him. But they will not walk therein. Judah refused. Verse 17. Also, I've set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I'll tell you, there's nothing more obstinate than a human being that's set in his ways and determined to do what he wants to do. God saved some of those people. God has a purpose in it. But the nation of Judah will not turn. How many prophets has God sent to them already? As you read in the book of Isaiah, how many times did God, through Isaiah, rebuke them and call them back to himself? They wouldn't heed it. Jeremiah follows Isaiah, still preaching. Chapter number 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. They're coming to the temple to worship God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Verse 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They put all the emphasis, well, this is God's temple, this is God's city. We're confident in that. And they thought they could live ungodly. You'll notice further on, verse 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord. Look in verse number 9, what God thinks about it. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery? You know what an offense it is when those who profess to be saved get into all kind of ungodliness, committing fornication, even in the church, and it becomes known, and what an offense it is to the church. But God says, will you do these things? Verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Beloved, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is his church. And God does not deliver us to do all these abominations. You hear about it. We're commanded by the Lord to deal with sin in the church. It ought not to be. And yet we're sinners. We're all sinners. But when something becomes known and people refuse to repent of it, the Lord tells us through Paul, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to set such a one outside the church. But what's going on in Baptist churches today? I'll leave the others alone. What's going on in Baptist churches? Ungodliness. Here's what God thinks about it. Verse 12, go ye now to my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first. Before God set his name in Jerusalem, he set his name in Shiloh. And see what I did to it for the wickedness of the people of Israel. This was earlier. They met in Shiloh. God destroyed it for the very same reason. They wouldn't serve the Lord. God called them to repent. They wouldn't repent. God destroyed that area. Silo, they couldn't worship there anymore because God dealt with them. And he's reminding them of that. Now notice, beloved, verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor declined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. God never calls us to go backward. God never calls us to be saved and join his church and then live in sin. That's the devil's doctrine. That didn't come from the Bible. God calls us to go forward, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Well, I'll tell you, the message he's been called to preach and the things he's saying openly presents a dilemma for Jeremiah. Let's go to chapter 14 now. I know I'm going through the scriptures hurriedly, but I'm showing you basically what is happening to this man, God's prophet. God ordained him when he was in the womb. God called him to be a prophet. God empowered him to do it. He said, I'll be with you. But do you think that takes away all the problems that he'll come up against? No, it only ensures he's going to have a bunch of them. Chapter 14, verse 7. O Lord, do our iniquities testify against us? Do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We've sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in time of trouble, why shouldest thou as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man be that turned aside to turn for a night, to tarry for a night? O Lord, art in the midst of us. Thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. We are called by thy name. Isn't that true of Christians? Whose name are we called by? What should our life be? Should it be like the people of Judah? In their ungodliness, the things that God has said against them, they were truth. They were living in ungodliness and sin and coming into the temple of God, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and living in an ungodly way. And what's the message? Well, the message is to the prophet, you go tell them. I know what they're doing. And he's telling us today. He knows what we're doing in the secret parts of our life. Others may not know, but God knows. And God called a pastor for this church to remind you, God knows what we're doing. We're no different than the children of Israel. We're just as human. We have the same father, Adam. We have the same tendency to live, as he says, after the imaginations of our own heart. And we need to be warned. That's why I'm here. Jeremiah has a dilemma. Verse 19 of this chapter. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thou so loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there's no healing for us. We've looked for peace and there is no good. And for a time of healing, behold, trouble. That's what happens to a Christian when you get out of the will of the Lord and you let sin be a part of your life and you don't turn from it. Expect God to deal with you. And beloved, I will warn you, because the Bible warns you, if you refuse and are so stiff-necked and so hard-headed that you just go on in your own way, God can take your life. Read the 1 Corinthian letter. And Paul was giving them instruction concerning the Lord's Supper. He said to them, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. You ever see so much sickness in the Lord's churches? And many sleep, and that word means they had died. For this cause, sin in the life of a Christian is a serious thing to God. He gave his son for us. He died for us. He's living in us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And yet, if we take our life and our bodies and we practice these things that Judah was practicing, you need to expect God to deal with you very severely, even to take your life. That's not a threat. That's God's word. I don't know God's will. I don't even try to know it. I just preach the word of God. Jeremiah now has a dilemma. His preaching is contradicted everywhere he turns. He preaches one thing and the prophets of Judah preach another. They contradict him. They say it's not so. Look in chapter 15. Here's what happens to Jeremiah. He has a dilemma. Now, if you've never been a preacher, you may not understand what happened to Jeremiah, but as a person, you should understand it. Remember what's happening to him. He said, I can't go, I'm a child. God said, yes, you can go. I've ordained you, I've called you, I want you to go. I'll be with you. But he's preaching what God tells him to preach, and what happens? They rise up against him. They won't receive it. What happens to Jeremiah? What happens to any human being? He begins to fall back on his own flesh. Chapter 14, verse number 12. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? The substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for thy sins and even in all thy borders. Verse 14. I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. This is God's word to Judah. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. God is threatening very seriously. And Jeremiah has to take the message. And I'll tell you, it's no fun to stand before people and give a message like Jeremiah had to give. It's bad enough he has to sound like an old pessimist and everything negative. But beloved, it's the word of the Lord. What's he to do? What is the man of God to do when God says, preach this? Because he's afraid of their faces, he backs off. He won't preach it. What's going to happen to that man? I'll tell you what will happen to him. He'll get just like Jeremiah. Let's read further. Verse 15, Jeremiah 15. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I've suffered rebuke. He begins to feel discouraged and depressed. Lord, I'm doing this at your command, and yet I'm not getting the response I expect. You know why preachers quit the ministry? They don't get the results they expect. And that's a sign they're preaching in the flesh. God must save people. Preachers don't save anybody. The very moment they try, they get in trouble. But they're still human. And they still think that God should do certain things. And God doesn't always do that. Let's read on. Turn to chapter 20. He has a dilemma here. He's preaching what God tells him to preach, but it doesn't seem to be working out. It gets worse. Look in chapter 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. He hears about Jeremiah's preaching. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin. Put him in prison, which was by the house of the Lord, next door to the house of the Lord. They put him in prison, put stocks on his feet because of what he was preaching. He smote Jeremiah. This is strong opposition. This man is the chief governor. It came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah to him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib, fear all around. His name meant freedom. Pashur means freedom. But God renamed him. Your name's not going to be Pashur anymore. It's going to be fear everywhere you look. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I'll give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Just exactly what Pashur didn't want to hear, God told Jeremiah, tell him. He smote you because of your preaching. You just tell him, I'm going to carry him up to Babylon too. He's going to go with him. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that's exactly what happened. Now let's go further. Verse 7, because here where Jeremiah's dilemma and his... You know why Jeremiah's called the weeping prophet? He wrote the book of Lamentations. book of weeping, Jeremiah wept as he preached to these people. It broke his heart that they would not receive the message of God. Notice in verse 7 of chapter 20, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. He feels betrayed. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. I believe Jeremiah is at his breaking point, don't you? For since I spake, since I started preaching what you told me, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Every day they're after me, Lord. All these prophets, they're contradicting everything I say. They say, no, Judah's not going into captivity. But notice verse 9, then I said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He's really depressed. He's ready to quit. Isn't that what you read? I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. It's been told several times by many preachers that I know. I quit every Monday morning. After the Sunday night service, I go home depressed and discouraged, and I just say, oh, Lord, I'm quitting. I can't do this. Well, that's the point Jeremiah's at. But notice the last part of the verse. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. You see, a preacher that's been called of God, he can't quit. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stop. I couldn't stay. I had to go on preaching. In spite of the fact they're smiting me, they're putting me in stocks, they're contradicting everything I say, and they're prophesying it's not going to be like I say. Lord, I wanted to quit, but I can't, because your word is like a fire in my bones. When you get a preacher that feels that way, you've got a man that God has called to be a minister to his people. His persecution only gets worse from here. He has this fainting spell, but he recognizes where his strength is. Like David, thou art my tower, thou art my hiding place, thou art my shield, thou art my hope. Jeremiah knows he can't quit, and he keeps on going. Now, if you compare the situation in Jeremiah's life at this point with some of the passages in the New Testament, and we want to do this as we bring the message to a close. I know I'm not finished with Jeremiah. I can't do it in one message. You'd have to come back 3 or 4 times. Just let me preach the rest of it to you. It gets better for Jeremiah, but it gets worse for Judah, because God's word is true, always and forever. But notice this passage, if you would, in Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. The writer of Hebrews, after in the 11th chapter, talks about these all died in faith. He says to us, those of us who are saved, in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Part of Tim's message this morning, patience, patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What did Jeremiah do when he got so distraught and he said, I'll just not speak his name anymore. I'm not going to preach his word anymore. What did he do? He remembered. He remembered where his hope was. And then he says, thy word is like a fire in my bones. I can't quit. And as a Christian, Tim was admonishing us. Many of you weren't here this morning. But as the Lord's coming approaches, the Bible warns us that we're to edify and build up one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching when the Lord's going to come. But what are God's people doing? They're missing church more and more. They're not drawing near. He said, let us draw near with a full assurance. No, the opposite is they're drawing away. They're drawing back. But the Word of God is still true. And God's encouragement to us is look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, I'm sure Jeremiah hated it when they smote him and put him in stocks and mocked his preaching. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your flesh. There's enough in this world to discourage every Christian, to tempt you to go back to the way your life was before you professed faith in Christ. Serving God has never been easy. It never will be. That's the glory of it. That's the joy of it. It's a task that not everyone can do. Only those who have been born again can possibly, as Tim said this morning, endure to the end. When you look at the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and verse number 13, we'll close with this passage. Paul was suffering because of need, but there's a church in Philippi that he said many times, minister to his need, and he says this in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. That's something you learn as a Christian. God's going to give you, many times you'll be abounding and then sometimes you're going to be abased. That's part of the Christian life. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Our life is not a bed of roses. Christ's life wasn't a bed of roses. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe that's what Jeremiah found when he got so distraught and discouraged and ready to quit. I can do all things. The one who called him didn't call him to quit. He called him to finish his course. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that when they were all taken away, and they did it kind of in phases, Jeremiah was faithful to the end. And I believe all these things, beloved, are lessons to us. God's prophet, you're God's child. Don't expect everything to go perfect. Don't expect not to have problems. Don't expect not to get down and feel like quitting. Just understand that you can't quit. God called you to everlasting life. He called you eternal glory. It's not the time to quit. It's a time to endure to the end. May God encourage this church and help us to take God's word seriously. These prophets, great men. But if you're saved, so are you. You're a special person. God loved you. Called you out of darkness into his glorious light. That you might serve him, not yourself. Serve him. Love him. Deny yourself. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message. Bow your heads. Father, I pray your blessing upon it. Only you can make it real and alive and effective in people's hearts. We pray in Jesus' name.